I
thought this was better than the Batman, actually.
Hell yes!
Welcome to Recotopia, a happy home for recommended movies, shows, and music from two people you can definitely trust. Trustability varies by region, no guarantees implied. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Atkinson and Jeremy Scott.
I'm sorry, brother.
I'm sorry that I brought you into this. I just wanted things to be the way they used to be.
All right, everybody. It is episode 11 of Recotopia.
Ooh, welcome.
Today is going to be a weird one.
Yeah.
A weird episode because normally Jeremy or I pick a movie that we both know we're going to like or already know that we like. But because it's Sin Week and because we always pick a movie that we have no idea is going to be good or not to watch with people at Sin Week, we watched Ambulance, the new Michael Bay opus. We could have watched Sonic the Hedgehog 2. I don't know. I mean, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, I think we'd be in the same place, probably.
Yeah, probably.
If we had known Everything Everywhere All at Once was coming out this week, we would have probably picked that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, you got to plan these things months and ahead. You can't get a theater, like, in that record amount of time for something like that. So, anyway, we ended up on Ambulance, and this could be a Warnatopia, guys. This could be our first Warnatopia.
Could be.
Anyway,
I'm not recommending it.
Continue the tradition of everybody introducing themselves. We'll go with us first. I'm Chris Atkinson.
I'm Jeremy Scott.
I'm Ian.
Daniel.
Danae.
I'm Aaron Dicer.
I'm Jonathan Watkins.
Yo.
Yep, and full panel today for Ambulance because it deserves it so much.
Yes.
I'm fine. It's just that you're so big.
It's so huge.
It's a good rule, but this is bigger than rules.
It's bigger on the inside.
Is it?
I noticed.
Look, because this is Recotopia, and we usually try to stay positive about things, can we say anything positive about this movie?
Mm.
I will go first.
Oh, you're going to steal the only good answer.
Maybe. I don't know.
All right, let's
hear it. I'm just going to say that Michael Bay is, this is a bad thing too, right? This is a bad thing. Is like a kid. Behind the camera. And there are so many moments in this movie where for no reason there's a lot of drone shots.
Mm-hmm.
The drones.
There's drone shots not only from above, but there's shots that are going through things and like low angle shots. And I found that exciting. I found that exhilarating. I hated the movie, but I loved everything about that giddiness that Michael Bay has behind the camera, which is why I would always say that as much as I've trashed his movies over the years, if he ever came to me and said, Chris, do you want to be in a Michael Bay movie? I would say yes. I would be in a Michael Bay movie because I think it would be fun as shit. So that is what I took from just to be positive about this movie. That's what I'm taking from this. That's my one positive.
I wanted to mention something about the drone shots that I found really interesting. Michael Bay is famous for quick cutting, right? Like he doesn't like to be on the same, you know, screen for more than, you know, 60 frames, basically. The drone shots, he has longer shots in this movie, but it's because he can use the quick movement of the drone to simulate quick cuts.
Yeah.
So it's like he's using a drone to cut while not cutting. It's just really fascinating stuff.
I'm with you.
She says something about a drone. She'd make notes. My positive thing is that it really does feel like Jake Gyllenhaal is having fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I can appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the most Michael Bay movies I think I've ever seen. But Jake was having fun, and that's my positive.
It's weird. It's one of the Michael Bayziest movies we've ever seen, and it's 2022. It's like 27 years of a movie career, and before that, MTV, obviously. And now we're seeing something that if he had drones back in 1995, this is what Bad Boys would have
looked
like.
It's his first remake, too, right? I don't think he's had another remake, has he?
If this is a remake,
it's a foreign film from a few years ago.
What the hell?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, it's
one of
definitely
my notes
a remake.
Was going to be that Michael Bay clearly sat down and said, I want to make a movie about an ambulance.
No, yeah,
and then
he remade it.
Worked out from that because everything feels built on the premise of big long car chase with the beastie ambulance at the center of it. But apparently, it's a freaking remake. But first of all, are we done being nice?
No, well, I had something nice to say.
Do you have anything nice to say about this movie?
It wasn't 3 hours long, which is good.
Okay,
so
yeah.
2 hours 16 is nice.
Definitely a positive.
Jake Gyllenhaal and Michael Bay are definitely having fun. I wish that translated to me having fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my positive. That's it.
Okay. Daniel, anything at all? I mean, even if you say, I can't come up with anything, that's fine.
I mean, you guys said everything.
I mean, it's not much after that. The pickings are clean, Jonathan.
I clearly liked this more than anybody on this panel. I had more fun than I didn't have fun. Mm-hmm. This is like the slightest of recommends, but I had a good time with it overall. I think I echo what he said about Jake Gyllenhaal. Love is a strong word. Keir O'Donnell and Garrett Dillon Hunt. I wanted more of them.
Yeah.
I think my favorite bit was the whole "Let's get past the I don't know shit and you served in Vietnam."
He's like, "How old do you think I am?"
Yeah. I really like Garrett Dillon Hunt. Anyways, I've always liked him. He's one of the best character actors out there. And he rarely is playing a good guy, so it's really fun to see him playing a good guy. And then Keir O'Donnell's not someone I've seen a ton of, but I mean, he's in Wedding Crashers and stuff like that, but I thought, you know, it was interesting seeing him play a more grown-up role, I guess. I've never seen him, like, as a adult, I don't think, so that was interesting.
Yeah. Dicer, I know you have some more, but Danae, any good things about this movie?
I found it more difficult to find the male gaze things, because we have this game we were playing while we were watching.
We'll definitely go over the bingo.
The Michael Bay bingo, which turned into bango. And I really thought that I would find that one faster. And certainly there's a beautiful woman in this, but I was expecting it to be even more like on the nose. And there was a gay couple that was represented. I really liked, there's a character, I think, Zaga?
Oh, yeah, Zaga.
Zaga?
Yeah.
I liked that character. So it kind of felt like there was an attempt at least to break out of what is expected with characters. But then there was obviously ones that we pinned down and our Sin Week fans pinned down, because we had one like the silly side character. So there's a lot that I think maybe people who like Michael Bay or have seen a lot of the movies like that got in there. But I had to reach to find some that I was expecting, and I was really expecting some more objectification of a female form, and I didn't find it. So I found that to be a surprise.
Can I say real quick, too, Isaac Gonzalez has weirdly become like our one of like kind of a mascot or something for us. She's been in the last three films we've watched for Sin Week, including last year when we watched Godzilla versus Kong.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And she was also in Bloodshot. She was KT. So
KT.
Yeah. So she's always awesome.
I didn't remember that. I feel kind of bad.
Dicer, you had more positive.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of in the Jonathan boat. This movie's fine. I don't hate this movie. I don't think it's terrible. You know, it's certainly very Michael Bay, and you know, if that kind of stuff is going to get under your skin, it's going to get under your skin in this movie too. For me, this is a weird positive to have with a Michael Bay movie, because honestly, I doubt it hits for anyone else, and it's a very personal thing. But I thought this movie did a really good job of actually honoring the spirit of the EMT, of the ambulance driver. Like, if you look at that character, and I don't think I'm going to get through this without getting a little bit emotional, but my life was saved by people like that who just came in, did their job, and then went back to work. And there is something really beautiful about that I'm glad this movie is exploring. I know it's in other movies, too, and we've seen it, but this movie seems to be about that in some way. In fact, she has these really great conversations about what it is to do that job. And her journey is to realize that it is okay for her to invest in these people she's saving and still be able to do her job. Like, there's a real interesting character growth she's going through there. And, you know, it was about a year after the EMT saved my life, I met them. It was just at a 4th of July event in town. My wife knew that they were there and brought them over, and I got to meet the people who came and restarted my heart.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of cool to see on screen. So.
Well, yeah. I can't rip on this movie now.
I was going to say, hey, guys, enjoy shitting on it now.
I've got a good
I'm the only good person. What the fuck?
Well, look. Can I say, though, that I feel like that's a really beautiful thing, but when you have to dig through 55 crashes to get
to it. Totally, I understand.
It's difficult.
Totally.
Like, now, I didn't expect that much just destruction.
Right,
so, I don't know.
Now, look, I did say I hate this movie, but I think I am more along you guys' line just because I found myself, I looked at my phone and went, wow, an hour's gone by in this movie. Normally in a Michael Bay movie, oh, fuck you. What does that look?
I'm like, oh, my God. I was like, oh, my God, this is lasting forever.
I also felt eternal to me.
I was like, this is forever.
It does after that first hour, for sure.
Okay, that's
true. The first hour, I think, goes by fine.
I agree with
that. And then after that, they slow it down way too much. But, like, that first hour I thought was really well done. But
that shot with the dog looking out the window, and I turned to you. I think this is the greatest movie ever.
Yeah. I will say, and this is, you know, I'm glad your EMT came to visit you afterwards. And that was one of the most absurd parts of this.
Oh, of course.
Movie.
Oh, of course.
Because she goes into the secret files in the back.
Oh,
and
it's ridiculous.
Nurse is like,
it's
oh,
so dumb.
Well, you're that hero nurse. So,
Oh, you're the one with all the blood on you. Okay.
I thought about Good Will Hunting, where he's like, they could look at you and tell the visiting hours don't apply to you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead through those sensitive. That's not a HIPAA violation.
Oh, my God. And in that moment, and the entire Sin Week, we were all cracking up. Like, when she grabbed that file, she's got blood all over her, and she walks into this little girl. Like, we all were just like, this is the fucking stupidest thing I've ever seen.
And then the little girl's just like, don't let go. Yeah. It's like, yes, you remember that, and that's the first thing you're going to say, 7-year-old girl.
That kid is drugged up. Yeah. Like, she doesn't remember shit.
Okay, so I guess now we've kind of gone over our overall thoughts, but let's get the critiques going. Ian, start us off with your you've been waiting, man. I can see.
I'm itching. Aaron, you're amazing, but it's so dumb. This movie's so dumb. The crux of why I couldn't get on board with this movie. Because it's based around a car chase, essentially. The entire thing is a car chase.
Mm-hmm.
And the car chase is boring as balls.
Yeah.
Like, there is nothing. They keep saying, oh, my God, this guy is like Lewis Hamilton. He's the best driver. Do you want to show us some of that?
Yeah.
Like, we don't see him do, other than look really intense behind the wheel and lose a lot of blood for an hour and a half, we don't see him do any of, like, so compare it to like Baby Driver and like the driving skills in that, and it may not be, it's obviously not the actor doing it, but just the way it's shot is just really exciting. And this, it was just, as soon as it built up any momentum, a cop car decides to drive off of a verge the next block over, nothing to do with the ambulance, or the ambulance just kind of stops and everyone backs off.
Or the cop car has a dog in it, and they have to call things off.
Yeah, because, man, the damn dog just got to save the dog.
Yeah, this is one of my biggest pet peeves in movies, is when they say, this guy is the best. He's the look at how amazing he is. And then they don't show anything.
It would be great to see that.
Like, we don't see him do it. How in the world does Bay do this without an ambulance tilted on two wheels driving around somewhere, you know, doing a Bond thing of some sort?
He managed it. He managed it.
So, somehow. Anyway. Daniel? Tell me what you thought.
I feel like this, first off, like, I feel like I enjoyed it a lot, so then.
Get out.
Okay.
Daniel was never seen again.
Like, I enjoyed it a lot, then I hear someone say something, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, this is terrible. I hate this movie now. And then someone says something like, oh, I like that.
It's one of those movies. It's one of those movies.
So after Ian, now I hate the movie again.
Exactly.
I don't know how I feel
I'm
about
back
it
back on
anymore.
His side.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think it was really fun. I think that I went into it expecting nothing from it, and then I got nothing from it. No, it was a thrill ride, and I think that what I was thinking about, like, as soon as it started, was like, this is not reality anymore. Like, Michael Bay has established that he doesn't care about reality. Mm-hmm. So, like, we're in his cinematic universe.
Yeah.
So it's like, and I think his cinematic universe is essentially like a narrativeless Grand Theft Auto.
Mm-hmm.
like where nothing is happening.
Yeah.
So like that, I think, is where all of this exists, and that's where these characters are. And I think this might be fit. And I just recently watched Free Guy, so like maybe that was like in my mind going into it, because like that is the world that it all makes sense in. Yeah. And so it's like you have to suspend realism entirely and like embrace whatever surreal nonsense he's going for. And I think that we've kind of landed on all the positive and negative points about it.
But yeah. It's a cinematic universe that seems very happy to refer to its own movies.
Oh, God.
Which is yeah. so broken.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
I know. I mean, it's not just that he refers to his old movie. It's the way it's referred to. It's more than a wink. It's kind of like
he's pulling out dialogue.
You know that movie, The Rock,
the one that Michael Bay directed. Yeah, exactly. Essentially, is what he could have said.
Exactly.
Honestly, that's one of my biggest issues with the whole film is that moment shows he's doing all this for him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He's not doing all this for us. That's why that dialogue is in there, because he, in his mind, this is a cute wink, and in my mind, you love your damn self.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think that's the thing. I think because I was thinking about like in Scream, there's the line Rose McGowan says the line Wes Carpenter, and then there's actually a scene where Wes Craven is playing a janitor in a Freddy's sweater, right? But if you see the behind the scenes on that, he didn't really care for either of those things. Like he was kind of embarrassed about it, but they said, "No, this will be fun." It's like I can get behind that, but like Michael Bay, I feel like a blip. Yeah,
it's a blip in that movie.
I feel like Michael Bay is like, "No, let's talk more about me." You know, I feel like he's. That, but maybe I'm wrong, but I'm just saying that's the feeling I get, like Jeremy was saying.
Yeah, and I think I was distracted, but I was also Bad Boys.
Yeah,
in there
somebody
too.
Said something about being a bad boy.
Yeah. Dicer, we know you liked it a bit, but what's your overall general critique of it?
It was weird that he included a Gone in 60 Seconds line when he didn't direct Gone in 60 Seconds. I was very confused about that.
Very weird.
No, I think the fun thing is always going to be a big one for me. If I can find little pockets of fun, little elements of fun, I thought some of these characters, as dumb as they are and as dumb as the plot is and as, you know, whatever, I was having fun listening to their repartee and their little, you know, jabs at each other. I thought the dog thing was funny.
It
was an adorable giant dog, you know, like it's just there was a lot of fun stuff that kind of kept me going through. And it's well known. It's easy for me to suspend disbelief for like dumb fun. Like I'm able just to kind of go into that brain and have some fun with it. But this was kind of one of those moments. It's, you know, it's kind of a nothing burger of a movie, but I smiled a few times. And I don't underestimate the impact of being in a room with a bunch of people I love too, hooting and hollering and doing bango and having fun together.
It definitely makes a difference.
It really does. Yeah, it really does. If I'd been sitting in that theater alone watching that, maybe I come out hating it. I don't know. But I do know I had fun.
Yeah. Danae, you wrote many notes. Yeah, go for it. Go for it. Let the hate flow through you.
I mean, the only thing that's not a waste of time is the people that were in the room and the fun games that we had and listening to people be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I was hearing that quite a bit.
Two words, hair clamp. What the fuck?
I said that the most absurd thing was when she goes back in to get to the files and the nurse is like, oh, okay, you're all right. It's really the FaceTime.
That whole surgery thing is ridiculous.
There's no way that dude lived after that. He went septic from that hair clamp.
Yeah. Let alone is completely coherent and conscious.
After the hair clamp.
20 minutes later after that hair clamp.
Let's talk about hair clamps, shall we?
Not good at surgery, huh?
So there's this weird thing, right, where I'm starting to notice that movies set things up for later. Like there's no reason to show her pulling her hair up unless it's like, unless she was doing like the really beautiful hair thing, which would be like the male gaze type of thing. But she didn't. She was just like a pulling her hair up to get work. But there was a little bit too much time spent on it. I put it back in the back of my mind, like, why spend time on that? And then we get to the fucking spleen explosion. And I was like, no, don't you fucking do it. And I was like, they're going to use the hair clamp. Mm-hmm.
Chekhov's hair clamp.
And they did. And it was just that was for me. It was like, you know what? I could get up and walk out and everyone would understand. No, there was literally nothing in this movie that I would ever recommend to anyone. It's a waste of time. Unless you love car crashes, then go watch this and you will be like fueled with excitement. And also, maybe this is a little bit what cocaine is like. Maybe. I've never tried it. Because I don't know how many... I don't think I've seen very many Michael Bay movies. Maybe Transformers, maybe. But I think that's it. This is insanity on screen. This is like... What the fuck is happening and who the fuck is this new guy and why are we doing this and why do I care about this person? Everyone should be dead and I couldn't suspend like Daniel did. I didn't find an alternate universe. I found hatred and anger and a waste of my time. But then I looked to my little buddy beside me, Mr. Cracker Barrel, we'll call him, and I was like, we're going to be okay. And he was like, we're going to be okay. And I looked at my Bango and I thought, okay, I just need to get the adrenaline shot to the chest and then I have Bango. And it didn't fucking happen.
Yeah.
Ugh! She reached for something and I'm like, here it comes. Oh, God damn it. That's the one thing I wanted to happen the whole time was that adrenaline shot to the chest. This is it. Bango was the only thing that was good about this. The end.
Jeremy?
I feel like Michael Bay... It's kind of like an android who mostly understands humans. So, like, all the stuff with the... All of these flashback slow-mo shots of the brothers as kids...
Yeah.
...felt like Armageddon when the kid has a flag on his back and he's running with a space shuttle through the street. It's like he puts the pieces together, but he doesn't understand how they work. And this movie is full of that kind of stuff. This is all predicated, the entire movie is predicated on the fact that a brand new cop is too embarrassed to flirt with a girl at the bank, but his 2 months in senior partner already loves him enough to badger him and take him back to the bank and force him to go flirt with this girl.
Yeah.
These are grown men. Mm-hmm. In college, my friends might have said, okay, in college once I went to dinner, I thought a girl across the place was cute. My roommate took my keys. Would not, basically, we're not leaving until you go talk to this girl, right? It's not what happened here. Yeah, I really did not like this movie. I just want something, I need a logic tent pole. Just one piece that makes sense. And I almost wish they'd started with the heist. Because the backstory where he's like on the phone trying to get a human person about his wife's surgery, that all felt like Michael Bay
trying to be human.
Through the motions, like paint by numbers. Okay, we'll give him a reason to accept this job, but all of that was rushed, and
It was interesting too because it was like a lot of really still moments on screen, really zoomed into the human faces. But then when it was cars and vehicles, it's like yeah.
Oh yeah.
But look over this was here. There's emotion.
Let's
there's
pretend this is the camera he was using to film this movie. Okay.
Yeah. this auditorium we watched this movie in was where I saw Bad Boys 2 way back in the day. Hollywood 27 is probably for both of us a theater we could say we've seen a movie in every auditorium.
For sure.
I just remember the Bad Boys 2. I saw that there, and I remember somebody did leave from that screening when we watched it on the night before it opened and everything. Because he's like, I can't handle this, man. I can't do this anymore.
I would love to see. I don't mind car crashes and stuff, but they don't make any sense. Like in the scenes themselves, you've got the ambulance that's suddenly going across a big parking lot, and you've got cop cars coming up on the right and the left, and then out of nowhere they just hit a barrier, and they flip, and that's kind of fun to see. Like if I pull it out, I'm like, oh, I've seen a car crash. That's pretty cool. Like I don't get to see that every day. And it's safe or whatever.
I will say, though, kind of going against what Danae said, I enjoyed this without enjoying the car crashes. I could care less about cars and car crashes. That was the most annoying part of it. I'm with Aaron. I like the repartee between the characters and just the, I don't know, there was just some energy there that worked for me. I mean, it is literally just like I enjoyed myself. I mean, I'm not saying this is a work of art. This was just like...
It's a bad shuffle. Someone tries to do the bridge shuffle, it's like chunk, 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 and it's just too, it's like the human emotion, and then there's just car chases and chaos, and then human emotion, and it just felt really disjointed, and maybe he was going for something really good, and I do like what you're talking about, Aaron, with the story of the ambulance driver, and I think that that's a really cool thing, to go into the chaos of of saving people. But when you're when you have a apparently a military ex-military and a car race guy all in one and a bank robber all in one driving an ambulance where someone has an exploded spleen held together by a hair clip in the back, they're dead, and we should not necessarily see that. But if they're going to show us an exploded spleen, like let's just get realistic. It felt like Grey's Anatomy gone wrong a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, this the reason why I'm like sort of on the like dislike side is I last night I was after getting out of this I was like, it's really a matter of character development. There's no characters in this movie. Jake Gyllenhaal seems to be having fun, but what is his thing? Like he robs banks, sure, but what?
Yeah,
is...
and Yaya has nothing. I mean, he's got nothing to hold on to. Like there's his character could have been anybody.
And I think Bay thinks Yaya is the main protagonist. I think it's the ambulance girl, but I think he thinks it's Yaya. Mm. Really, because it starts with him, right? And it starts with his we can give time for the laugh. That's fine. It starts with him, and so I just think that's a misstep on his part to think that the emotion of this wife and child that we never get a chance to know or anything is going to be enough for us to be rooting for that character.
And it doesn't take a lot to move him in that direction. It's not like,
right, yeah.
I don't even really feel that bad for him, you know, having to go to jail or whatever, because it's not like he was like pushing and pulling against it. And like, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal really had to drag him in. It was like two seconds. And
but he's
like,
not gonna
I guess
go to
I'll
jail.
Do this.
That's what I was going to say is the reason, you know, Michael Bay thinks that character is the main character is that scene in the hospital where the cop comes in who Yaya shot and says, he saved my life.
Yeah, I always have problem with that in movies where somebody does something after they've done something shitty.
He murdered a bunch of those cartel guys. He shot him in cold blood.
Yeah, like he does something shitty to him, and then because he did the right thing afterwards, everything's cool now.
Oh,
but
well, and she makes
he was the lesser evil. I would say
even the ambulance driver makes an accessory out of his wife. Like
yeah.
she gives him
she
like
herself
stolen
becomes
money.
One.
Yes, yeah. it's
exactly.
wild.
Here's a what a case.
But this sort of reminded me of two other imaginatively titled movies called Heat and Speed, where there was the bank robbery is not nearly as cool as the one in Heat, and the chase is not nearly as cool as the one in Speed. It's kind of doing both of those movies. Just for me, it was characters. If they had more imaginative characters, more reasons to care, I think all the other stuff that we're talking about that we don't like, we probably would have given more line to. So
I think one of the things that helps people to know how to dig into emotion in a movie is like who they give the screen time to and the development to. We see a lot of different characters, and I was trying to like, who am I relating to? That's always what they want you to do, is who are you relating to on screen? They give you a lot of variety. There's a lot of people in this. You've got everybody from every side. You've got the FBI, you've got the local police, you've got some bank robbers that may have a moral compass or may not have
what is her name?
You've got Birkenstock boy who definitely died gruesomely.
Olivia Sambolia plays the lady that's like
Gaga?
Is that her name?
Was she the police officer that was like
Yeah. So
shit?
What is she doing? I cannot
figure
out.
She's owning her scenes. That's what
she's. No, she was awesome. No, she's a great actor. But what was she do? Like, what was her purpose?
I think she was like an ops person, right?
Okay.
Like
I think she was just looking at helicopter shots.
Yeah, and
finding the ambulance.
But I can never figure out like where her seat was. Like, this is a weird thing to think about, but it's just this happens in Michael Bay movies because he sets stuff up so oddly. I couldn't even figure out how she was sitting in the vehicle
and how
other people were sitting by her, because it looked like she was almost like on the side. I don't know. It was just such a bizarre aesthetic choice that I could not figure it out. She was great, though.
Settle into this movie. There's no place to kind of sit for it. Well, there are slow shots of like close-up of faces when it gets emotional, but then the music is doing this weird like,
it's pretty good ambulance.
Like, what the fuck is happening right now? Like, and it's just a slow build of intensity. Like, that's how he thinks.
Can
we
talk
need to
about
feel emotion?
The scene where they put on the music and put in the earbuds.
I liked that actually. I liked that a lot.
What was that song?
It's a Christopher Cross.
Yeah, Christopher Cross song.
I think that's a fine moment in another movie.
Oh, I thought it. But it was entertaining. I mean, I'm just saying, like, this was fun to me, and that was a moment that created
Jonathan,
fun.
It's okay. It's okay. We still care about you.
Because no, I like the angle.
I agree with him.
Yeah, I liked the angle of her hearing them, not hearing the music.
That was
a brilliant choice.
That's a different movie for that moment. That's a comedy moment.
I disagree.
That belongs.
You can have
like,
comedy in action movies. I mean, there's comedy in The Rock, and I
don't think there's tone disparity.
I don't either.
I disagree.
Okay. All right.
I'm gonna.
I just got a dying man in the back.
Yeah,
they're running from cop for 2 hours, and they're gonna go.
I hate this movie because I don't want to be attacked by Jeremy and Ian anymore.
No. I think I have a distinction that we can draw. There's a tone consistency to this movie. There is a tone disparity in what the movie is doing consecutively. It's both trying to have its serious moments and its levity and fun and that kind of stuff. But that's consistent through the whole thing. It's not like it's going
consistently inconsistent.
Well, it's consistently combined, yes.
Consistently.
I don't know.
You can do both.
At the end of the year, when I'm thinking about what scene stood out to me, I'm going to remember that scene. That's all I'm saying.
Well, and I'm going to remember, like, another example of
Batman.
This for me.
I thought this was better than the Batman, actually.
I think you guys might have all missed it. Wow.
Let's go. This is where we cut. But I didn't like
the Batman very much. So.
This is where the audio cuts out of the podcast.
Let's go.
Holy shit.
Jeremy
is
now
here, right?
weighing a cactus.
This is why I get scared to do podcasts with Jeremy.
No, I do want to mention another moment like that I really like.
Because you're
since
not
we're kind
of that opinion.
On that topic. Yeah. And I think there are these moments that will determine kind of whether or not you're having fun with the movie or whether or not you think it's terrible. There's this moment where Jake Gyllenhaal has a surprised face under a full face mask.
Yes.
And you can see his full eyes
as
he is acting his butt off under this mask.
Yeah.
I loved that. I thought that was hilarious. But if you're, you know, kind of like this movie's ridiculous, maybe you're like, come on, that's so over the top. So it just kind of has that throughout where it's like you're, you know, either having fun with it or not. That's okay.
All right, everybody. It's time to talk about BetterHelp.
BetterHelp. Look, I feel like there's this societal pressure on a lot of people to be okay right now. Like, sure, we've been through a pandemic, but that's been going on for 2 years. Sure, there's a war over on Eastern Europe, but, you know, you should still probably find a way to be okay. I feel like that's kind of what the world is telling us, and I kind of feel like it would be all right if every single person in America was a little bit not okay right now. Because it's unprecedented what people have been dealing with for the last 2 years, at least for generations. And so it's the perfect time to consider BetterHelp if you never have before. You don't have to get in your car and drive anywhere. You don't have to sit and not make eye contact with strangers awkwardly in a waiting room. You don't have to read old magazines or listen to piped in top 40 music in the waiting room. You can do therapy right from the comfort of your own home, wherever you are right now. You can stay in your pajamas. You can dictate the schedule and the frequency of appointments. You can chat with your therapist in between appointments. And BetterHelp has just opened up the help that therapy brings to millions of people who might not otherwise be inclined to go out and seek it in a physical sense. And if you go to betterhelp.com/recotopia, you can get up to 10% off your first month. BetterHelp is staffed fully with licensed professional therapists, and you're likely to be matched up with one right in your own area. But if it doesn't gel, don't worry. You can move to another one pretty easily. You can text, you can call, you can video chat, you can email. Therapy your way from the comfort of your own home. Go to betterhelp.com/recotopia. Get 10% off your first month.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Okay, so let's move to something really controversial.
Can I say something controversial?
This bango that we played.
Oh, man, yeah.
Afterwards, like, look, I didn't get a bango, okay?
I didn't get a bango.
I was pissed off about this.
Were you close?
Yeah, I was very close. But if a lot of the audience is to be believed, I would have gotten a bango. But I disagreed with some of the things that people thought they saw.
Let's talk about it.
In this movie.
Let's
first off, I'm just going to go on my page, and I'll tell you what I didn't circle, which is narration.
We didn't get any narration.
That's a positive for this movie. I'm surprised it didn't have, I went to work this day, and nothing, you know, it was all that kind of bullshit going on. Medical person says stat did not hear.
No. Yeah, it happened.
It happened.
Early on.
Or I missed
really
it.
Happened early?
Yeah, it was on a radio call.
Well, then in that case, I would have gotten bango.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah, yeah. There were several places there. But see, I also have a controversial one on my own that people are going to disagree with. So I did not hear the medical person say stat. Apparently it happened. Military celebration was a little controversial because
at the beginning. Yeah.
He's playing his military experience.
Oh, there's a huge zoom on his military unit. It goes to his flag that he's got folded. Like it's.
I never really. You think that's celebration? I guess I was thinking of a different.
I was looking for soldiers going. Yay!
Yeah. That's what I was.
I was kind of looking for like slow motion glamour shots and stuff.
Yeah.
But like that one could count. Yeah, I didn't put that one down.
I would have counted that.
Gas tank shot did not happen.
It didn't happen.
That kept me from a bango.
Yeah.
If a gas tank shot had happened, I'd have had a bango.
Now, this one's controversial, I think, too. Someone says you're late because I think there's a couple of times where they say.
Right at the beginning, this was one that I put a question mark on because he calls his brother and he's like, yeah, I'll be right there, which had that vibe that he was late. So I was like, I just don't think I could
close.
Count it.
It was on the fence for me. Yeah. I probably
would
have
said
no.
I didn't mark military celebration because I also was thinking it was going to be like this, go USA!
With
like a whole bunch
of military, that certainly counts. I can see what Aaron's saying there, but.
I mean, maybe we should reword
muscle
that
muscle flex
one.
Shot? Did anybody see a muscle flex shot?
No muscle flex.
I didn't see muscle flex.
Okay. Male gaze.
Oh, this is a big one.
I don't feel like I saw male gaze.
I didn't see anything. Not that I would consider
it. Danae marked it, though.
I did mark it because in the ambulance towards the end, when it's zooming in, it's on Jake's face while she's setting something up, and it's like her ass is the entire left side of the screen, and then it's his face in like the corner. And I was like, okay, maybe that counts.
I guess I was paying attention to the
face. I saw that shot, obviously. But I didn't think it was male gaze because there's a shot in for me.
It wasn't the pan up thing, right?
The one I think of the most in a Michael Bay's oeuvre is the Transformer shot of Rosie Huntington-Whiteley and Megan Fox. Megan Fox is obvious, but Rosie Huntington-Whiteley in the middle of all this destruction, they're like, I'm just going to take a shot of Rosie Huntington-Whiteley here. She's so pretty. But Megan Fox, obviously, like a million of them in those. But I was looking for that. Like
I was looking for like the Hardee's commercial kind of thing. You know, like where it's like, you know, when they had the big Hardee's commercial with all the beautiful women and it's just like they're eating this burger super sexy. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Some super
and
sexual
this is,
thing.
And that's less male-gazy than even like how Justice League is shot.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so I put a question mark, but where I thought it could be if there was one was just, but again, that's what one of my positives is, was not easy to find that. And I thought that was a for sure. On this
another controversial one was medical person says we're losing him, which I don't think was specifically said, but he's fading happened.
No, there was a specific moment where someone said we're losing him. Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't hear we're losing him. I heard it's he's fading or dying, but I didn't hear the
no, I was too busy thinking about how Jeremy was going to fire me when I said I like
him. Yeah. Jonathan through about 30 minutes of the movie was like, I think Jeremy's going to fire me. I don't know what's going on.
Well, let's also be very – human memory is, you know, can – trick itself, but I'm pretty sure they specifically said, yeah, we're losing.
Oh, no, I was thinking of something else. I was thinking of the gloves, but that did happen towards the end where she didn't.
I think it might have been one of the guys on the golf course, if I'm remembering. Said we're gonna lose him.
Man, I was very laser focused. I was laser focused during that scene.
Okay,
and I didn't hear
all right. Maybe
it
wasn't then. Maybe
you guys heard we're losing him. I don't know if you heard that, but I heard he's fading, he's dying. I didn't hear anything else. Take a look at this cliche, which I was surprised didn't show up.
Didn't show up. Didn't hear that one.
They're moving a little bit too fast for a take a look at this.
Yeah.
Adrenaline shot to the chest?
Nope.
Didn't see that?
Nope. Didn't happen.
Passing the same building multiple. That was a tough one. Passing the same building multiple times. I'm sure it happened.
I didn't
catch it. If we go by drone footage, it happened a lot because it was like, we're up here at the top of the building and we're going down the building. We're up at the top of the building and we're going down.
Quick question, Chris.
Yeah.
With the adrenaline shot, there wasn't to the chest, but one of our members had informed me that there was an epinephrine shot into an IV, which is essentially
not the same thing.
Mark on mine when I saw that,
so I wasn't sure did that count though, because I didn't cross it off because I wasn't sure.
And
that
was what was preventing me from some of these others that were like took forever for me to circle, because there were some that I was like, I mean, it could be.
Well, in this case, it literally says adrenaline shot to the chest.
But there's other there's
a Pulp Fiction moment of
right.
I love how seriously we're taking.
It's so serious.
And why wouldn't we?
Blinding sunsets. There were people who said that they saw blinding sunsets.
I didn't.
I saw the sun in the background, but I did not see it sunset.
So there's. So literally you want the sun
partly
below the
horizon. I probably said it wrong. Maybe they're not always sunsets, but I still didn't really. I didn't even notice the blinding
sun. Shots, I would have put that down, but it didn't. It said sunset.
So here's my thing about Michael Bay and sunsets. This entire movie takes place while the sun is setting. Every event in this movie takes place during what would typically be a 30-minute section of window where the sun is doing what it's doing.
You're not wrong.
And it's just because he loves that idea of having the camera stare into the sun. There's this moment, they're talking in a mall food court or something towards the beginning of the movie, and the camera just pans a little bit over her shoulder, and the sun just like takes up the entire, and then it goes back, you know, so the sun's behind her head, and it's just like, how are you so in love with the sun coming through the camera?
To be fair, though, he did kind of take that from Tony Scott, but Tony Scott did it in a much more – he's just a better director.
Yeah.
We didn't have people dramatically walking away from explosion, did we?
Yes, Danae, I was getting to that. No, I'm just kidding.
Did we?
No, we didn't. We did not get one.
I was surprised by that. I kept waiting for it. Did you do the thing during the movie where you're like just hovering, like waiting for it to happen?
A couple of times. Yeah, this is why I missed a couple that you say that you saw, because I was like, some of these I did not realize were things until people started looking at their sheets. And I was like, oh shit, that is one. Oh, you're right.
We did have a guy running away from an explosion. I guess that doesn't count.
Yeah, run. That was great.
The ones I circled, bad comedic side character, which we started off with the cop being that person, but then I think it ended up being the Jake Gyllenhaal's employee.
Flamingo guy.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was Birkenstock.
But it could be Birkenstock.
Could be
guy.
Birkenstock guy. There's several in there. Any number of them is worth putting
there
your bingo on.
There were many to choose from.
Product placement definitely happened.
For sure. There was Adidas.
The very first one, I believe, is the beer she's holding.
Non-alcoholic Heineken.
Can we go back to the guy you were saying was a sidekick real quick, though? Jake Gyllenhaal's. I was curious. Did you think that was... Jeremy, did you think that was kind of was that making fun of anxiety in the workplace? Did you get that impression?
I mean, it was weird. Just, I think it's just a easy bit of dialogue to write. Never mind. what's that movie with Timberlake directed by Cassavetes that's based on a real story?
Alpha Dog.
Alpha Dog, where Justin Timberlake at one point says, you know how I am with that anxiety shit,
true,
and then they never
true.
Come back to that again. I think it's just something people throw into dialogue.
This one's controversial, but defibrillator used before compressions, it was used as a weapon.
That counts.
By fault, it gets in.
What was interesting about that one is, so we have two people in attendance that are medically trained, and they were like they were chomping at the bit to add these, and it was specific that defibrillator used before compressions, which I've never realized needs to happen. So every time she was compressing someone, I was like, aw.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah, don't even pull out the defibrillator now.
Like, God damn it. Come on. Do it the other way.
The roll credits, I mean, obviously, now on the bingo, it says somebody call the ambulance.
Yeah.
But it's really, I think that happens, but really there's a lot of other like true roll credits moments in this where people are like, the ambulance, like they know they're saying the movie title. So that definitely happens.
There's roll credits moments for several movies in this movie.
By the way, this movie needs a "the" in front of it because I'm always going to call it the ambulance.
Yeah. Low camera upshot angle happened right.
The car that was had the little girl that was impaled. What a great way to start a movie.
Mm-hmm. Right,
a mother dying, an infant child struggles with the military, and then an impaled child. This is great.
My favorite part was we got to see her cry when she could feel
saw
cutting the thing. Inside her body.
Mm-hmm. I was so uncomfortable.
Yeah, me too.
Explosions took a long time.
It really did.
It took a long time for an explosion to happen. It finally happened, and then it happened two or three more times. Medical person not wearing gloves, that happened when Aiza Gonzalez was cutting up some stuff in the back. I can't remember who she was on. Who was she working on in that scene? It wasn't the cop, I don't think.
No, it was Will. It was the brother.
Yeah, the good brother.
The one she shot, yeah.
American flags, holy shit, American flags.
Oh my goodness.
I never knew. This was exciting to me because I don't usually watch movies like this. So hearing everybody have so many, so this whole thing started at our dinner opening night for Sin Week, and every conversation was things that they were expecting to see. So that was really exciting to me because you guys are right. There's a lot of that in here.
I mean, it was three in the first 5 minutes. Then they yeah. did, I mean, several more throughout.
Yeah.
Slow motion helicopter shot. This one took a long time for me to circle. There were a lot of helicopter shots.
Yep.
Then there were some that were like where they had the slow motion helicopter blades, but the picture was still.
Yeah.
It was like a frame rate. Yeah. It was a frame rate thing. It wasn't really slow motion.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, are the things moving? I was having to do theory of relativity. Are there things on the road moving at the same, like at the normal speed while this is going on? And like finally there was a moment where it was like
the two of them.
Yeah, the two
of them. Which honestly, that looked badass.
That was a cool shot, man.
And Jake's like hanging out of a fucking ambulance like, dink.
Oh, that wasn't Jake. Like,
right.
Yeah, it was so clear.
There was 20 seconds there where it looked more like Ian than it did.
The 360 shot took a bit, took a second.
But was it?
There was a lot of 180s.
There was a lot of 270s.
270s. And then finally, there's a scene of Jake Gyllenhaal where it goes
all the way around. Yeah.
It was like, because he was like, I can finally do this without cutting just once.
I went ahead and marked it for all the 270s.
Anyway, just because
I was prepared to argue.
I mean, it was gonna happen anyway. News position happened one time, I believe, and Jonathan was quick on the draw on that one. He's like, oh, that's news position. I was like, yep, you're right. And then shaky cam, obviously, throughout the movie,
the whole thing.
It did take a second for it to be shaky cam, but once he started, he didn't stop.
Once he started using it, it was constant.
Yeah, there was one shaky cam shot. They're coming out into the LA River, and it's just this exterior shot of the ambulance, and literally, it's just this big blurry thing. That's the river, and it's just shaking, and I'm like, what are we looking at? Why would you leave this in? And then it kind of cuts back to interior. It was the most baffling thing. I love
that they went into the LA River and Jake is all like, why are you driving through water? And Yaya's, it's the LA River. There's water everywhere. There's almost never water in that fucking almost never.
I think we're about to open up to the audience, but first, I know we had some EMT sends.
We did. I'd love to see that
list. I'd like to see this and read them out.
If you want to, do you mind bringing it up, your notebook up? I'll look at that. I did also write down other cliches. I didn't sign up for this cliche was in this one. The cutting off in traffic cliche. There was a sunglass removal moment I thought maybe happens a lot in Michael Bay, so if we ever did this again, we could add that. The phrase, I can't do this alone, I need you, which I think probably happens more than I thought. Super zooming in, referencing your own movie rather than doing like we could maybe like blur that one out. And then a casual sexual reference. We had an STD reference in this one.
That was a funny line.
That was funny. Like, I have herpes. Like, oh, okay, thank you for sharing.
We all just deal with what we've got.
Gonna go through the EMSNs. Gonna try to. I mean, there's some paragraphs here. That's how bad they got it wrong, right? You know, like we'll see how fast we can go through this. First off, seen here on the table is Zofran, an effective medication against gastritis or other kinds of stomach pain. Occasionally from chemo treatments if you have cancer. The movie makes no mention of Will or any member of his family having any kind of medical problems that would warrant the use of Zofran, so there was no real reason to show us this. One of the most egregious sins it commits is not knowing the difference between EMTs and paramedics, which we probably fucked up in this
thing. Absolutely.
To keep it short, an EMT is basic life support and can't do things like IVs, give advanced medications, intubate, or use an EKG.
Now, is she an EMT?
She is a paramedic.
So she,
paramedics are advanced life support and can do all of these things. Cam here is seen with a rookie, but the patches on her shoulder clearly say paramedic on them. Even if he's a brand new paramedic, he has to have been doing EMT work for years before being allowed to do advanced shit. This movie will constantly go back and forth on the skill set of Cam. Where the hell is that penetrated object that was in the little girl's abdomen? In EMS, we do not remove a penetrated object. I get that it was very long and had to be cut down to cut some in order to help her get out of the wrecked car. We never remove it entirely because we don't have the means to handle internal damage on that level. Paramedics just abandoned the patient with his trauma team. First of all, the trauma team should be waiting inside of an operating room. The medics are supposed to bring her inside, give the report, and register the patient. They don't just throw them at the hospital and go back inside. I thought of Richard Kimball in The Fugitive. Like he's got a wound in the upper gastric area. Dispatch would not know the status of the patient. Oh, medical personnel saying stat cliche.
Yeah.
Dispatch would not know the status of the patient. That would require either a dispatcher calling the hospital and asking about the patient by name, which they would not know, or B, the hospital calling 911 to be like, hey, the little girl had penetrating trauma to the abdomen is doing well. Make sure that the paramedic from Baby Driver knows. Both of those are massive HIPAA violations. Extreme breaches of patient privacy on that level gets you major jail time, yo. Monitoring your radio while you eat lunch. They're not even wearing their radios. What if they get a call for a cardiac arrest or a woman in labor or a tummy ache?
This is literally the first 5 minutes of the movie,
Yep.
So
read a few and then we'll move on because this is a lot. There are a lot. Just a few and then we'll move on.
All right.
Yeah. Oh. Go ahead, make a suggestion.
Cam is a street paramedic, and it doesn't look like she's a specialty unit like a rescue medic truck. So why the hell does she have a scalpel? What is she going to do with a fucking scalpel? She's not a combat medic. The only thing I can think of is a surgical thank you for making me say this word. Cryothyroidotomy, where you make an airway in the neck. Oh, I saw this on ER. Pretty sure no EMS agency will do that shit anymore. I can tell you she's not gonna amputate with it. You don't use trauma shears to cut the fucking skin. That's what the scalpel is for. Those are for clothes or seatbelts or handbags. Not skin. Fuck this movie, fuck it. Yeah, that's
bravo,
probably.
Bravo.
Thank you so much. On that note of stabbing, we're going to, this is going to be it for Rectopia 11. I guess I could say, I guess it's my choice on the next choice. Because I said it in the last episode, and I think it'd be a great episode, we're going to do City of God next episode.
It's a great choice. We don't have to do this, but one of the things I love about Rectopia is the super secret double feature recommend. And I just wondered if either of you or both of you or anybody on the staff would have a super secret double feature to
bringing out
the
dead.
Yes.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yes. Mine, I alluded to earlier. I think Speed would be a good double feature with this movie. Heat maybe, but Heat's a little bit more slow, subdued, and everything. Speed is actually what it says in the title. So, anybody else got a double feature for this?
Yeah, I think you start with this, and like I said earlier, go into a good movie and finish with Baby Driver. This is how Baby car Driver. Chases happen.
Yeah, yeah. Daniel, you have any?
No, I actually was going to say Bringing Out the Dead, but you already got
that. Well, and Baby
Bringing
Driver
Out the Dead's a good one.
Baby
for
Driver
this.
Is, you know, way less problematic than Ambulance. Good call.
Mm. hey, the Batman.
I would go actually I just because I would want a lot of people to watch this movie because it's equally bonkers, and it's also called The Ambulance, and it's from 1990-91. It's directed by Larry Cohen. And written by Larry Cohen, and it's like Eric Roberts plays a cartoonist who I think somebody there's like this guy that's driving an ambulance and killing people in the city, and like Eric Roberts gets involved in it somehow, and he's a cartoonist, and it's just weird and bonkers, and it's like the best like
I now must see this movie.
Yeah, oh, it's insane, and I crazily own a Blu-ray of it, so I'll let you borrow it sometime. But
you guys,
so weird.
I think I'd go with Airport.
Oh, Airport, yeah.
What I think is similar between the two is that Airport also does this thing where all of a sudden you're meeting new people from different, you know, angles and aspects. Like, there is this thing in Ambulance that's kind of been lost in movies where it's kind of this gradual building of the cast around a situation. Now most movies focus on their, you know, two protagonists, their antagonist, and the sidekick. Like, that's, you know, once you got that, you've got your crew. And, yeah, there are some older movies like that, Poseidon Adventure is another one, where, you know, you're just kind of building this big cast that eventually you know all these people. So, yeah, Airport kind of was one of the first disaster movies to kind of start that. I really dig Airport. I think it's
awesome.
Good.
So, yeah. Vinay, do you have a double feature for this movie?
No. Brave little toaster.
Well, that's fine. But that'll do it for this episode. It is Chris Atkins and Jeremy Scott, Danae Hughes, Aaron Dicer, Jonathan Watkins, Daniel Cardoso, and Ian Whittington. We'll see you next time. See you. Bye.
Part of the live show by being a member of the Sin Club at Patreon at patreon.com/cinemasins. Chat with us on the CinemaSins Discord at discord.gg/cinemasins or CinemaSins Twitter at CinemaSins, and email any comments or questions to recotopia@cinemasins.com. That's recotopia@cinemasins.com.
Yeah, you know, this is, and the comment is that basically Jake Gyllenhaal is fucked after this, if he doesn't die or whatever.
Whether he gets 30 years or not,
yeah.
There's a whole bunch of dead people.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of dead people, and this is something that movies constantly forget about when, and I always go back to Taken 3 with this type of thing, because Liam Neeson, who is innocent, does a bunch of really bad shit to get away from cops all the way through the movie. He causes like massive pileups on the interstate and probably kills a few people. And yet at the end of it, it's like, after all this bad stuff he did, they're like, oh, well, you were innocent all along. It's okay if you did all that.
The comment is the murder of the teddy bear also needs to be on the record.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was shocking, but everyone giggled. We were all so dark.
I was just glad they didn't tie off the spleen with an American flag.
I know. And that's on the table.
It's on the table.
So in a weird parallel, the Batman hates EMTs. So that that was the message I got from that movie.
Oh, but one last absurd moment. Nobody wants to work with poor Isa Gonzalez.
Oh, I know.
Nobody wants to work with her because she's had troubles. And I'm like sitting there going, no. There would be volunteers.
Chris is very vocal, too, in that moment. He's like, nobody wants to work with her.
The comment that that Xander is making is about appreciating my appreciation of EMTs and for the work that you do. And I hope that more people understand that there are so many hands involved in keeping people healthy, saving people in life-threatening situations. Oftentimes we think of the surgeons or, you know, the ones we've seen in TV shows and that kind of stuff. And there's just so many hands that do the work, and your hands are very much appreciated. And thank you for the many, many, many lives that you have impacted.